Welcome to Category Leaders, where we go inside the minds of executives and innovators shaping the future of B2B growth. I'm Eli Grisserfidi, co-founder of Maya Digital, where we help B2B companies and executives build LinkedIn authority and drive life-changing opportunities. On this podcast, I sit down with founders, CEOs, and C-level leaders who are redefining their categories, the innovators turning executive presence into pipeline growth, competitive advantage, and market leadership. If you are a decision maker looking to scale your influence, attract top talent, and position yourself as the go-to voice in your industry, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Today on Category Leaders, I'm joined by Laura Krachnova, founder and CEO of Scratch Marketing, a B2B tech agency that helps companies get recognized, adopted, and grown. Laura's worked with companies from VMware to Dell and early stage startups in AI, quantum computing, and climate tech and cyber and many more. Laura, welcome to Category Leaders.
Thank you so much, Eli. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation. I know you work a lot with B2B tech and have been doing this for very long with Scratch. I'm excited to hear your insights. You started Scratch, if I'm not mistaken, back in 2009. You saw something broken in the agency world. What was that moment that clicked for you? You had been working many years in corporate, had a successful career, and also what gave you the courage to leave corporate and build the alternative?
Well, great question. And thank you for the opportunity to tell my story. So 2009, I was the head of marketing for a local Boston startup. And we joked this day with my former CEO that he drove me to open up Scratch. We have a great relationship to this day. So what happened was it was time for me to move on. The company had, you know, grown to a certain stage. It was getting acquired. So the next step was, what do I do next? And as I started consulting, what I realized is that at least at that time, most of the agencies and most of the consultants were one-trick ponies. So if you are an SEO agency, every problem was an SEO problem. If you're a PR agency, it's a PR problem, and so on and so forth. So then I was like, as I was consulting companies, what I realized is that sometimes they need business advice, like what kind of business model should I pursue? How do I think about a channel strategy or partnerships? Or should I be doing PR when I don't have a product market fit yet? So that's when I realized that we can actually flex the full tool set in marketing to help companies. And we started as an integrated agency with that kind of belief that instead of forcing services to people, we choose the right mix of stuff that, you know, matches the companies that we're working with to make sure that we make them successful.
Okay. So that I really love that point of integrating and really being part of them. And it sounds like main part of your approach is before executing anything is really to diagnose it. I think you've called it before, you know, marketing co-pilots. So for a B2B tech founder listening right now, how should he actually think about figuring out what they need before they start spending time and lots of money on all these things?
Depends on the stage of the company, but in any case, what either founders or executive teams need to think about is where is the friction right now? Maybe pipeline is not growing as well. Maybe there are certain segments of the market that are not responding well. You need to be honest with what is not working, and the diagnosis starts there. Or if you want to flip it on the more positive side, we're just starting out. How do we go about growing this company? And I always say to earlier stage companies that it's not a question of if, it's a question of when you go after specific segments. And the key to early stage customer success is not to go broad. You have to pick a segment of the customer population that has a very specific problem. And I'm a huge fan of April Dunford and her positioning methodology. She's incredible. Incredible. So that's, I always say, like the big fish in the smaller pond, you have to pick the smaller pond first and be honest about it and then invest meaningfully in it. You can't expect that you're going to change the world in 3 months. It just doesn't work this way. Especially now, I think more so than ever, people want to be able to trust that what we say is true. And in 3 months, you can't get to the point of, oh, I believe you. Now I can trust you to be there for me.
Trust is so important. I've had so many conversations recently, and trust keeps on coming up so many times. And also, big fan of April's work, positioning. So, at the center of the diagnosis is positioning, and like you just mentioned, April Dunford's framework is brilliant for it. For founders building where the product is complex, right? We know, especially in a lot of the industries that you've worked with in B2B tech, many times a market barely exists. How do you help them find the positioning that actually resonates when buyers don't even know that category yet?
Yeah, great question. You place a couple of bets, right? You say the core to this is what's the smaller pond? How do we go and define the smaller pond? And maybe there are a couple of smaller ponds that we are looking at because we know as founders, we know what kind of issues these companies are facing, these teams are facing. So the question would be, to figure out how many smaller problems can you identify and can you be honest about them and can you find initial design partners to validate your hypothesis that they're the ones and they're going through that. So that's, I think that's key. And that's done through, of course, knowing the markets, following your gut, doing some research, finding some design partners. But also knowing kind of what you're really strong at. And understanding whether this is a standalone or whether you need to go and co-sell with someone else. A lot of times we assume here's another platform, but people naturally don't want to buy another platform because that means change management, what have you. What if we integrate it? What if we provided a data feed initially so that we can have a foot in the door and then grow from there? So it's like this idea of you don't need to sell necessarily direct. You need to assess the smaller ponds also in terms of an ecosystem and see, can I wedge through a partner and integrate with that technology so that I become much easier to buy, onboard, use, that sort of thing.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And once you've nailed the positioning, right? So you know who you are, what you stand for, why you're different. The next question that every founder asks is, where do I take all
What's
this,
next?
right? What's
What's
next?
next?
How do I get out there? And B2B tech, LinkedIn keeps on coming up. How important do you see LinkedIn as a channel in the go-to-market mix for B2B tech companies? And what do you see most founders getting wrong?
Well, LinkedIn is a stable right now. It's one of the absolutely core to any B2B go-to-market, whether you're starting out or whether you're established, is LinkedIn is absolutely a must. There's no two ways about it. How you navigate it, I'm sure that you can tell people more than I can. But to answer your question, what do you do next? Once you can figure it out, the positioning, and depends on what that means, right? Because that, if you are telling me that that also includes validating it, because you need to go and validate and then you need to talk to people, you need to have a couple of design partners. That's the next step if you don't have that. And I have a very great connection, David Lavenda, who's also based in Tel Aviv, who's great at kind of partnership programs. So for the folks who are based in Israel, definitely talk to David, or for folks who are all around the world, because he's great. So you figure out your design partner program, and there's definitely a skill to kind of figuring out how to run that, how to get feedback. The next level is selling. You need to sell before, because you need to have enough of a market before you start investing longer term and figuring this out. So the selling part of this is really figuring out the smaller pond, figuring out who's in your ideal customer profile, and enveloping those people so that you can have enough ARR coming in the door before you start investing in the longer term marketing. That is, of course, unless you have a lot of funding because you're in a completely new category, then you can build all of these and evangelize. But this is new category building, which requires a whole other skill set. So if you're smaller, bigger fish in a smaller pond, follow this kind of tried and true advice. If you have a lot of money and you are one of the frontier labs, for example, right? Or the way that things are working right now, the bigger companies in that space, that's a completely different ballgame.
Is there a certain ARR that, typically if someone's trying to gauge, what it should be from over a million, is it 10 million? Is there kind of a sweet spot that you see that this is a signal that it's time?
I think it depends on the average contract value, but if you have repeatable business, that means that you're generating at least a million or not. So after a million, you can be sure that you're actually, this is the smaller pond that you need to go in. So then you invest a lot more in the smaller pond. When you conquer the smaller pond and you are well known and people regard you as the trusted choice in that, then go after the next smaller pond and the next smaller pond. That's how you grow the company from there.
Amazing. Beyond LinkedIn, are there any other channels or initiatives that companies should be thinking about to create this awareness, to create the trust, really, get in front of their audience?
I think that I'm a huge proponent of signal-based go-to-market, figuring out once you know the smaller pond, you can start listening and seeing what people are talking about, what's top of mind for them, right? What are the kinds of things that they worry about? And that becomes the fodder for your program, content program. And you can do this on LinkedIn, obviously, is one way. There's multiple niche communities depending who you need to engage. It's like the core of marketing hasn't necessarily changed. But you know what's interesting? Now with the LLMs and the tools that are out there, you can actually see, don't use them just as a way to look at, am I showing up in the LLMs? Am I visible? And is my brand represented well? I mean, that's important, of course. But when you do your audit of yourself in the category, this is a lens on your entire go-to-market. So you can look at the niche community. Sure, maybe Reddit is showing up at the top, but maybe there's long-tail communities that the other players in the smaller pond are not playing in as much. And that's your opportunity to wedge in and invest not only from an LLM perspective, but maybe you're on webinars, maybe you do meetups, again, depending on the company. So use the LLM audits actually as an interesting way to assess your market as opposed to just, am I showing up in ChatGPT for these prompts?
I love that you brought up the LLM visibility because, of course, it's the talk of the day, the answer engine optimization, AEO or GEO, right? It depends how we look at it. And you mentioned Wrench and Reddit being at the top. Many of the researches that have come out has had LinkedIn and Reddit head to head, one and two.
Head to
Actually,
head.
some of the latest research has come out in the last few months that even LinkedIn has overtaken it. And I think that's really interesting. Also, if we kind of look at it from, the thought behind how it makes sense, Reddit is anonymous. There isn't credibility and that trust that you mentioned before. It's very difficult to build that when you don't have that profile. Where on LinkedIn, people, whether it's the individual or the companies, there's that verification behind it. There's that personal brand, right? Or the company brand that you can go and you can see that person. And also, that signal-based marketing that you mentioned, I think is very important. There's many different signals that can be taken from a personal level or a company level on LinkedIn as well. Those who are thinking of LLM visibility as part of their strategy and seeing how their brand or the individual show up there, build on LinkedIn. I can tell you from my point of view, it
Yeah,
is one
absolutely.
of it is if we're looking long term, not only the short term benefits, and some of them you've mentioned here as well that you're able to get from LinkedIn, but from a LLM visibility long term strategy, the more you build there, and it's not only the brand, it's also the executives and the CEOs, and it's also the
Oh.
employees, right? And that's where we're able to, really multiply the amplification.
Agreed. I actually was talking to someone. I'm part of a group called Pavilion. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
Yes.
it's a global community, and I highly recommend folks looking into it and joining because it's go-to-market professionals on the marketing and the sales side. And I was talking to someone actually based in Berlin about how they have this visible expert program on LinkedIn, right? And this is absolutely true. More and more, we're seeing the kind of the buildup of the individual. It doesn't even have to be part of the C-suite, right? If you're a subject matter expert, you can do a ton of good damage on LinkedIn by building a profile and having people trust you. You know, it's interesting. Trust, because we talked about this at the beginning of the conversation, that's kind of what's driving LinkedIn, because if you're consistent, if you are helpful to people tend to trust and gravitate towards you, and if you're insightful. Reddit has a similar kind of trust equation. It's not the people, it's the content, though, and people sniff it pretty quickly. So this is where it's an interesting crowdsourced way of getting to the truth, maybe a more transparent than LinkedIn, because on LinkedIn we can't always be open about everything. So I think they complement each other, to your point.
Yeah. I always say LinkedIn isn't a social media network. It's a relationship platform. It has social media elements to it, but really at the foundations, it's relationships. And relationships, the foundations of that is trust. So trust isn't only important here for, you know, that human to human connection that we're able to do through LinkedIn. It's also, you know, what we were just saying now for LLMs, it's becoming that trust layer for the LLMs to cite and to source from the content and from the individuals that are coming, that are putting up the content, and then being able to show up in ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, and the other models as well. Lara, something that I love to see on your profile is that you spend a huge amount of time mentoring. You've been with Techstars for over a decade, CIC Japan, Bulgarian Innovation Hub. You've worked with hundreds of startups, if not thousands. When a founder walks into a session and pitches you, what's the most common mistake you see them making with their go-to-market, and what do you tell them?
I think, first of all, I love mentoring. Helping people out has this interesting way of making you feel much more fulfilled. And there's the kind of the liberation from helping someone without anything being attached to it, right? Because in a commercial relationship,
100%.
You have to show up in a certain way. And in this case, you just 100% focus on the people across from you and try to figure out how you can best help them. People, depending on how much experience they have had in building companies, because at the end of the day, we're building companies, we're building this for sustainability, right? Then sales and marketing are just part of this business overall business function, right? A lot of times people over-index on the technology itself and how it works, as opposed to why should someone care and how does it fit into their workflow and all of that kind of stuff. And the other one is not thinking about segments, right? Your technology may have applicability across maybe three different types of customers. You need to be able to understand that three different types of customers mean three different GTMs. And I personally experienced this in one of the startups that I worked for, and I was the head of marketing. This was scratch marketing and media, obviously. First of all, we were going to discover independent musicians, then independent videographers, then independent animators. And we thought that, you know, short film, what have you, we thought that all of these communities are related. But guess what? If you're into hip hop, you don't necessarily do short film and animation, and the communities are not connected. So when you understand that these are different GTMs, meaning you have different teams, different investments, different brand building, and you can't do this all simultaneously, I think that's the other big mistake that they make. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And when you try to do too much, you don't make enough noise in the market, you're not noticed, you're spreading yourself too thin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can say we see something similar as well. And that, you know, on the LinkedIn side, when we're working with companies, we tell them, you know, to not just have one channel, not just a company page, take different voices, take different positions, different subject matter experts that we've talked about,
exactly,
who can speak to different parts of the market or different functions. And that's why it's so important to get everyone into the mix. And it really is the only platform that we have today as well that is able to get from the CEO to the developer, right? We've worked with even software engineers, getting them to build their brand and to put content on there to speak to other engineers, whether it's for a hiring perspective or for a sales perspective. So I think that's super important.
Of course.
Laura, as we look to wrap up, so a final question. You work with many companies who are driving meaningful change, quantum computing, climate tech, AI, cybersecurity. What's one technology or trend that you're seeing right now that through your clients that most people just aren't paying enough attention to? Curious to hear your thoughts.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think that physical AI is starting to become very, very interesting. We've seen a couple of the robotics companies and humanoid companies out there, and I'm lucky enough to be associated tangentially to Figure AI. We work with Parkway Venture Capital and their investor in Figure, in Brett and his crew, and it's amazing to see what they're doing on that front. But I think that this is going to go beyond the humanoids and the Waymos of the world. We'll start seeing more and more. I'm still catching up on Google's latest conference and seeing what's what was announced there. But obviously, the smart glasses that they announced and sort of the physical way of interacting with them was something that I was able to caught on stage. So I think that's going to be super interesting to see how it permeates our lives.
I love that. Definitely Crazy times ahead, and
Indeed.
incredible innovation coming. And I think we're in some sense only scratching the surface, which is crazy since especially with the
See, that
things that
works.
have
This is
happened
why
over the last.
one of the reasons why I named our company Scratch Marketing and Media, because we're only scratching the surface. And if we keep that perspective in mind, there's always this leap that's coming forward.
Amazing. Laura, this has been an incredible conversation. If people want to learn more about Scratch Marketing or connect with you, where should they go?
LinkedIn, they can find me on LinkedIn for sure. And they can also visit our website.
Incredible. Well, thank you again, everybody. Laura, founder and CEO of Scratch Marketing. We'll link everything in the show notes. Thank you for listening to Category Leaders. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Eli. Thank you for the opportunity. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Category Leaders. If you are a B2B founder, executive, or leader with a story worth sharing, I'd love to have you on the show. Head to categoryleaders.team-maia.com to apply. Found value in this episode? Here's how you can help. Share it, take a screenshot, post it on LinkedIn, or send it to someone who needs to hear this. And if you know a leader who should be featured, tag them. I'd love to connect. Please subscribe to Category Leaders so you don't miss the next conversation. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn or visit team-maia.com to learn more about what we do. Thanks for being here. See you on the next episode.